Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Law Hour is an educational service with public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the ESIAC report when we come back. You know, when you make $50,000 a year, you pay about $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then in addition to that, you pay a 17% income tax on that $50,000 income. That's another $8,500. You just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax, and that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised, boys. Now, for more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, the ESIAC report put out by Richard Thomas. It's also got a name and address here. Let me give you the name and address. Down in Los Angeles, California, published by the Alternative Treatment Information Network, ATIN, Alternative Treatment Information Network, 1244 Ozeta Terrace, O-Z-E-T-A Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Or you can call them at 310-278-6611. Again, that's area code 310-278-6611. Now, last time I reported in the report, this is called the ESIAC report, that Renee Cassey had a woman die in her clinic. She didn't die from the ESIAC treatment. She died from an embolism. She had a blood clot or a broken artery, and she died. And Renee Cassey was put on trial for that one death. By this time, Cassey has treated literally thousands of patients. No one has ever complained about anything that she's done. This one woman comes in, has an embolism, and dies. And the headlines scream, "Woman dies after treatment at the Cassey Clinic, cancer clinic." I wanted to mention that to you because the medical profession here in America kills 130,000 people a year that they admit to. They admit to killing 130,000 a year. Every authority believes it's double that, quarter of a million. And many authorities believe that it's double that, it's a half a million. But no matter what the number is, it's more than one person, isn't it? Now, this Renee Cassey has a clinic. She's treating cancer patients. She's taking people that are terminally ill, terminal cancer patients, and healing them with this old Ojibwa Indian formula. Don't think that Renee Cassey discovered this, because she didn't. She got it from an old woman who got it from an Ojibwa medicine man. Now, nobody is giving the Ojibwa Indians one centillionth of an ounce of credit for the discovery of this cancer cure. I have never heard anybody read any reports that ever gave an Indian, a Native American, any credit for anything whatsoever. I think that that is doing a disservice. You know, if I came on the air and I made a quotation or a citation, and I didn't give the author credit, I would be accused of plagiarism. Somebody would write me a letter. Somebody would want to sue me. Somebody would want to bring me to court and say, "Well, now you're taking this material, it's copyrighted, and you're using it, and you didn't give me credit for it." And so we try to be very careful here on the Law, or at least I'm not speaking for everybody out here in Radio Land, but here on the Law, and give people credit where credit is due. Now, Renee Cassey is due a lot of credit for having popularized and used this this ESIAC treatment, but remember where she got it. She got it from the Ojibwa Indians, and they had had it in this country for hundreds of years before that, and I imagine they still have it in their tribal councils and their medicine men to this day. So I think that the Ojibwa Indians are certainly entitled to a little bit of credit for the discovery of this formula. However, Renee Cassey is using this formula. She's treating literally thousands of patients, and nobody ever dies from this stuff until finally one day this woman comes in, gets a shot of this ESIAC formula for cancer, and then dies from something totally different, which is an embolism. It's a coronary problem, and they put her on trial. They had a 12-man jury here trying her, and it's a good thing she won the case. She proved that, no, it wasn't the ESIAC. It was this embolism that killed her. Well, I knew a doctor, Dr. Lester, up in Ontario, Oregon. Now, Lester had been treating cancer patients. He's what we call in orthodox medicine an oncologist, cancer doctor. And he'd been a World War II fighter pilot. He flew P-51s and he crashed one time, busted. He survived it. He got busted up real bad. And so under the GI Bill, he went to medical school. When we got out of medical school, he went to work as a doctor about 1950 or so, 51 or two. I forgot exactly when he went to work as a doctor. And he gave it up after a couple of years because he was killing people. And that's what he told me. He said, I asked him, I said, hey, doc, why did you give up medicine? And he said, well, because I was killing too many people. Now, here's a medical doctor that admits, I'm using orthodox medical practices, and I'm killing my patients, and it makes me feel bad. So he went out and got his chiropractic license. And then after he got his chiropractic license, he said, that isn't quite what I need to treat what I really would like to treat, and that's cancer. So he went to naturopathy school. And this is the only guy I have ever met that had all three tickets. He was a medical doctor, he was a chiropractor, and he was a naturopath. Now, before the war, he had gone to medical school. And then when the war came out, he hadn't finished medical school. And when the war ended, he went back to medical school, and then he went on to chiropractic school, then he went on to naturopathy school, and he went on. When I met him in 1984, he was treating my wife for cancer at that time. And he used the Easter lily oval with direct injections. And he cured the cancer in about 90 days. But while we were there, it was in Ontario, Oregon, and I got to know this fellow. His name was Melvin Lester, probably dead by now, but he's a pretty good old boy, and he shared a lot of his neat experiences, and I got to talking a little bit, and I said, well, doc, let me ask you this. What's your success rate in treating cancer? And he said, well, I'd like to say that it's 100%, but he said, I lost a patient. I said, let me see if I understand this right. Doc, you've been treating cancer patients for 30 years, since 1954. He said, yeah. And you lost one. Yep, one of my patients died. And I said, is that all you ever lost to cancer? He said, yeah, one. I lost one. I said, how many patients have you treated since 1954? He says, oh, God, I don't know, but it's in the thousands. Now, here's a guy who's got all three tickets. He's a medical doctor, but he doesn't practice medicine. He practiced naturopathy. But he could get away with it because, you see, because he was a medical doctor, they'd leave him alone. But there was a naturopath, a guy named Dr. Maxwell in Boise, and he had an old man in his office one day who fell over dead. And because he was treating this man, naturopathy, in Boise, Idaho, they prosecuted Maxwell, found him guilty, and sentenced him to 10 years in prison. I met him in prison in the Boise State, or in the Idaho State Penitentiary there at Boise. Dr. Maxwell, in all the years that he had been practicing naturopathy, had one patient die, an old man in his 80s. Maxwell didn't have anything to do with the guy's death. He might have died of old age. It was a heart attack in his office, but because naturopathy is prohibited in Idaho, he was practicing medicine without a license, and they prosecuted him and put him in prison for 10 years. Boys and girls, this is the medical monopoly. This is the allopathic medical monopoly. If you have a patient that dies as a naturopath, you will be prosecuted for murder or practicing medicine without a license. If you're a medical doctor and 130,000 patients die, it's expected. We admit to that. Now, I just thought I'd share that with you. It's insane. But we Americans believe in our medicine with a religious fervor. And by God, we're not going to have a bunch of damn interlopers coming in here like naturopaths and alternative therapists coming in here with some cancer cure. We're not going to tolerate that. Not only won't the doctors and the AMA tolerate it, by God, the American people won't tolerate it. So I'm not here to feel sorry for the American people or the people who have cancer. You got cancer because you broke a law. You can't get sick without breaking the law. You violated the law of God, and now you've got cancer. There's a solution to the cancer, but it's illegal in America. And the medical doctors who are in charge of the medical profession will not let you have any of these alternative therapies. And if they find out about it, they will prosecute you. You will go to prison. All right, now with that out of the way, the battle to legalize ESSIAC began in Canada in 1938. And by 1938, Rene's support had grown enormously. Another petition was circulated. Now, this is the third petition to the government of Canada. This time it garnered 55,000 signatures. I mean, we're not talking about, 50 or 75 people think this lady's pretty good. I mean, she's got 17,000 signatures and 20 or 30,000 signatures and now 55,000 signatures. The people of Canada want this therapy and they want it legalized border to border, coast to coast, so that they can cure cancer in Canada. Now, let me ask you Canadians up there, do you think you got a cure to cancer in Canada today in 2006? I trow not. The public, along with many doctors and professionals from every walk of life, were demanding in no uncertain terms that Rene Cassie be allowed to, in effect, practice medicine without a license. Now, Frank Kelly, who was a member of the legislature, went so far as to have election handbills printed that displayed Rene's picture and quoted her as saying that she had Premier Hepburn's assurance the legislation would soon be introduced which would allow her to operate her clinic legally. Now imagine, if you will, the wrath that Renee was about to incur from a medical establishment firmly entrenched in their faith in the wonders of modern medicine. A medical establishment that legally held the power to crush anyone who had the audacity to practice the art of healing not in accordance with the precepts of the ordained faith. In March of 1938, a private bill was introduced by Frank Kelly, which proposed that Renee Cassie be officially authorized to practice medicine in Ontario in the treatment of cancer in all of its forms and of human ailments and condition resulting therefrom. Renee desperately wanted this legislation passed, allowing her to treat patients before they were diagnosed as terminal, because the doctors were not sending her patients until the last stages of the disease, patients who had already been subjected to the traumas of traditional cancer treatment. They were all but killing her patients before she was given a chance to help them. In Renee's words, medical science has nothing to offer the cancer patient but x-ray, radium, and surgery. Radiation has the opposite effect. It causes cancer. Radium derives it instead of out and burns the surrounding tissue. Now, the medical establishment naturally perceived the proposed legislation as a direct attack on their credibility and indeed their entire reason for existing. Their response should not be surprising. Dr. Faulkner, who had in the past been sympathetic to Renee, was replaced as Minister of Health by Harold Kirby. Harold Kirby would not see the honor of modern medical science tainted. So in the beginning of March of 1938, the Kirby Bill was introduced into the legislature. Briefly stated, the Kirby Bill was created, according to its defenders, as a way to get to the truth about unorthodox cancer treatments, Renee's treatment being, of course, the main target. The Kirby Bill would protect the public because it would discover if controversial treatments had any merit. The Kirby Bill would therefore have the power to establish a Royal Cancer Commission to investigate all possible cancer treatments. Renee would be allowed to offer evidence to the Royal Cancer Commission, which would be composed of respected members of the Canadian College of Physicians and Surgeons. If and only if her evidence was conclusive, the Cancer Commission would then legalize Essiac. There were, however, a few minor stipulations. The formulas for all treatments investigated must be turned over to the Cancer Commission, and if one refused to divulge the formula, one was subject to a fine of $100 to $500 the first time, and they were caught treating the patient, and $500 to $2,500 the second time, and for each subsequent offense. And failure to pay the fine could result in 30 days to 6 months in prison. But according to the Kirby Bill, all members of the Cancer Commission would be required to maintain the confidentiality of the formulas submitted for review. But if the esteemed members accidentally or otherwise broke this confidentiality, there were, of course, no penalties for their breach of fiduciary duty. Now, Renee was outraged when she heard about the bill, and she believed if she turned over her formula to the Cancer Commission, they would never keep it secret. The people of Ontario will be paying a group of men in the pharmaceutical industry to develop something that has been developed and discovered 15 years ago. And I have developed and proven a cure right here in Bracebridge, and I am running a clinic where hundreds of cancer sufferers are being treated and helped. Why then should I be asked to give my formula over to a group of doctors who never did anything to earn it? And if the Ontario legislature can pass a law to put me in jail for 6 months for helping suffering people, I'll close my clinic and go to the United States. I shall not buck such opposition. Well, naturally, Renee's supporters were determined to see that her bill be passed and the Kirby bill defeated. Renee's bill was the first to be debated in the legislature. According to transcripts, the debate was fierce. Renee's lawyer opened with, "Patients and their relatives are reporting that doctors are refusing to give Renee diagnosis of cancer and that a cabal has been organized by the medical profession against her." The charge was met with cries of untrue and shame by members of the legislature. Another gentleman rose to his feet and declared, "My mother was a cancer patient, and yet three doctors refused to give her a written diagnosis for Miss Cassie, though they gave it to my mother verbally." Scores of patients in the gallery applauded his statement with such enthusiasm that Speaker David Kroll threatened to expel them from the House if you don't settle down. And the Speaker went on to say, "The government is setting up a board to deal with these reported cures," referring to the Cancer Commission to be established when the Kirby Bill passed, which was, of course, a foregone conclusion. So members of Parliament, Duckworth, Armstrong, and Somerville, all gave impassioned speeches as to why the bill should be passed. Each time, they gave the name of a terminal patient that they had known personally who had been cured, and the gallery erupted in cheers. One by one, the patients were allowed to tell of their miraculous turnarounds because of their treatment with Essiac. And then Renee was allowed to take the stand, and the legislature was silent as she spoke. And she said, "The fact that I can get any results at all should be accepted as a good thing. When I had success, I thought the doctors would welcome me with open arms. I didn't anticipate antagonism from the medical profession. I expected cooperation, and I have every respect for the medical profession. I'm a part of it." She told the legislature that she would gladly give her formula to the world without any thought of gain. "If I knew that it would be given to humanity in the same way, I have never asked a patient for 1 cent. I have been glad to have donations of $1 or $2, but I have never asked a patient if they had money. I treated them whether they had money or not." All she really wanted was for the medical profession to admit that Essiac had merit, based upon the results that she had already obtained, and then she would welcome any type of investigation. My clinic is wide open to any investigation at all times. One is struck at her naivete and her bravery. All she wanted was the medical establishment to abandon every sacred belief that they clung to about the treatment of cancer. That's all she wanted. She's about as naive as Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Remember, Jimmy Stewart played the role of Mr. Smith, who was elected to Washington back in the 1930s? Well, this woman is just about that naive. You know, she's a Catholic girl, and she's single. She's never married. She's living her life like a nun. She believes in her work, and she's helping humanity. And she says, I've gotten this formula that cures cancer. I got it from the Ojibwe Indians, and I want to share it with the world at no cost. My God, boys and girls, let's think about this for a second. Let's suppose that today I'm revealing to you a cure for cancer, not the cure, just one of 10 cures that have been developed here in the United States and or Canada over the past 100 years. The medical profession makes $1.6 trillion as an industry. Now, $1.6 trillion is 16% of the national gross domestic product. 16% of all of the goods and services traded, 16% of all the money that moves in commerce moves in this one industry. Can you grasp that? That's a big part of American industry. The airline industry is less than 10%. The medical industry is 16%. It's the biggest single business in the country. Now, take the biggest single business in the country, divide it into thirds, because cancer represents one-third of the entire medical industry. Put another way, it represents about 5%, $1 out of every 20, about 5% of the gross domestic product. Now, I come on the air and I say, well, let me tell you about the SEAC report, because we could eliminate 5% of the gross domestic product in one fell swoop. We can eliminate cancer in America. Furthermore, we could eliminate cancer worldwide if it was accepted by the American Medical Society. Remember, President Nixon, on December the 23rd, 1971, declared war on cancer. What if we did that today in 2006? Do you know what would happen in 2007? Our economy would collapse. You can't take 5% out of the national economy overnight. My God, ladies and gentlemen, we need cancer. It's a part of the gross domestic product. That's how big cancer is in this country. It would be a threat to national security. So let's forget about cancer cures, and let's get down here to the nitty-gritty. If Renee Cassie had shut her mouth and all these people, instead of petitioning the Congress and all the legislature and all that, just went on doing their thing, there would be cancer clinics in Canada to this day using SEAC and curing cancer. And then side by side with that, there would be the medical profession, and they would be curing their cancer and doing their thing in life and making their money. There wouldn't be any big controversy. But what happens is the naturopaths get out here and they get on the warpath and they say, well, we've got to abolish the American Medical Society because these medical doctors are quacks. And so then the medical doctors, they get up in arms and they have to go to the legislature and they have to defend themselves against the naturopaths. And so they banish the naturopaths. And that's what happened in the last century. It's these warring factions in the medical community trying to abolish one another. The same thing occurs in religion. You know, the Catholics have to abolish Protestantism. They just can't live with Protestants. The Protestants have to abolish Catholicism. They just can't live with Catholicism. And the Muslims are sitting over there saying, we've got to abolish Christianity. We can't live with Christianity. And so then you've got the Israelis. They can't live with the Syrians, and the Syrians can't live with the Israelis. And so this just goes on and on and on. So let's take a little different tack. I'm not concerned about the medical doctors. I'm not trying to put the IRS out of business. I'm not trying to abolish the Federal Reserve. The people of America want paper money. The people of America want the Federal Reserve. The people of America want the income tax. The majority. So instead of me coming out here, you know, like some crusader, you know, trying to abolish the IRS and abolish the income tax and to save America from the tyrants, listen, if the American people want to be oppressed by the tyrants, what do I care? What do you care? What difference does it make to us? If the majority of Americans want to practice cut, burn, and poison, why does that bother us? Why are we excited about it? Let's just concentrate on us. So I concentrate a little bit differently on the tax problem. I say, let's solve the tax problem for one individual at a time. I solved my tax problem. I don't pay the income tax. I stopped having income. That's a wild new idea. Stop having income. Somebody's going to say, well, how do you live? And the answer is, I live very well. Thank you. On property. The opposite to income, which you never heard of before. That's because you practice the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property. It's the first plank. Americans don't have property. We have equitable interests. But I'm not trying to abolish communism in America. Communism in America is as part is a part and parcel with American society and life as is apple pie and mom. Americans love it. Americans want it. Americans desire it. They wallow in it. They love it. Let them have it. I just don't want to buy into it. So when we talk about cancer, Americans love cancer. Americans want cancer. Americans want the AMA. Americans want cut, burn, and poison. Americans want pharmaceuticals, and they want drugs. So why do I want to get in the way of their happiness and success? That's what happened in Canada. You see, the forces of René Cassie and all of these do-gooders up there, they said, this is so good, we want to abolish the doctors. Well, can't blame the doctors. You know, the doctors came back and said, geez, here's a threat to our survival. Let's destroy the opposition. So they did. They destroyed ESSIAC. And with it, they destroyed the cancer cure. The cancer cure could have existed side by side with the cause of cancer in the medical profession. It had, from 1925 to 1938, for 13 years, it had existed, coexisted side by side. All right, now let's take a look at the income tax. Here in America, we have a two-tier monetary system. We have the Federal Reserve with its paper fiat currency, and then we have the Treasury with gold and silver coin. Every day, boys and girls, the United States Mint at West Point, New York, turns out gold and silver coins. Did you know that? And 5% of Americans own 100% of all of the gold and silver in the country. Did you know that? I'm not trying to free America. I'm not trying to get the other 95% of Americans to abolish the income tax, the Federal Reserve, fiat currency, or paper money, or the income tax. I don't care what the other 95% do. Let them do it. And let the rest of us shut up. And then we can practice gold and silver, and we can opt out of the income tax and Social Security and live our lives with property and just do real nice. Thank you. Now, we got a real problem here with ESSIAC and black salve. Now, I can get ESSIAC and I can get black salve and I can get bloodroot. I don't know if you can get black salve, ESSIAC, or bloodroot. I don't know about you. As a reporter, I just want to tell you that there is a cure to cancer. In fact, there's 10, not one, 10. Cancer isn't even a big deal. According to one old Indian doctor that I talked to, he said, we Indians do not view cancer as a big deal. Smallpox is another story. Indians and smallpox, smallpox is a big deal to Indians. Cancer isn't. Remember that this cure to cancer, this particular cure to cancer, how many of these are? The Indian black salve, that's a Native American cancer cure. ESSIAC is a Native American cancer cure. Bloodroot is a Native American cancer cure. Of the 10, 3 of the 10, nearly a third of the cancer cures are Native American. How do you like that? Not bad for a bunch of savages running around in loincloths, riding horses bareback across the plains. Now, those people knew a little something about this thing called cancer. They didn't know much about smallpox, but they did know something about cancer. Let's take them up on their offer. They gave us something that was of great value. René Cassie was smart enough to pick up on it. And then they decided, well, let's take this to the legislature. Let's get this nationalized. Let's get this institutionalized. Oh, no. No, no. When you do that, you just stir up a lot of hate and discontent among the other camps over here. Just leave the other camps alone and just coexist with them. I'm not here promoting chiropractors or naturopaths or medical doctors or anybody else. I'm over here promoting what's good for me personally. And if I need a medical doctor, you know, I might need an x-ray. No, I might need a chiropractor someday. I might need a naturopath sometime. I might need some one of these professionals to do a specific job for me, and I don't want them abolished. I don't want them eliminated in favor of somebody else. I don't want the Baptists eliminated in favor of the Catholics or the Catholics eliminated in favor of the Methodists or anything else. Leave the Catholics alone. Let them live their lives. Leave the Mormons alone. Let them live their lives. And let's butt out of everybody else's business. That's a wild new concept here in America. Butt out of everybody else's business. All right, let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log, schedule, and archives. It can be accessed through the webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Keep in mind, however, these endorsements or recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate by endorsing or recommending the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily entirely or wholly endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and let's call us at the phone number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, this is called the SEAC report put out by a fellow named Richard Thomas. Richard Thomas, you probably get a copy of this report. Don't ask me what the price is. I've got a clue. I get these papers and reports here across my desk. I don't necessarily put a price on them. It's 8.5 by 11. See how many pages are in this report. Pretty good report, too. It's just filled with names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. Well documented. Well documented. I'm looking back here, looking at pages. All these letters back here. My God, just testimonials. I mean, I got one whole section back here. No page numbers. I'm still looking for page numbers. Oh, for crying out loud. Page numbers. Come on here. Last part of the book probably has 100 letters dating from the 1930s, 40s, 50s. About SEAC. The report itself is about 101 pages, and then it starts off here with Exhibit 1, and I'd say there's another 100 pages in here of exhibits that relate to letters that are signed by doctors and patients and others, you know, that said, hey, listen, this is what SEAC did for me. So I'm guessing about 200 pages in the report, and you can get a copy of it. It's ATIN, published by the Alternative Treatment Information Network, 1244 Ozeta Terrace, O-Z-E-T-A Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Telephone number is 310-278-6611. Again, that's area code 310-278-6611. And let me give you one more little thingy over here that I need to advertise for myself here. I've had a number of inquiries about conducting a tax school in Austin, Texas. Now, if you're interested in a tax school in Austin, Texas, call us here at the law school and tell us so we know how many people to expect. If there's two, I won't go. If there's 10 or 15, I will. The number is 417-273-4967. We're looking at September, perhaps October, probably in September next month. And you can send us an email here to georgegordon.org. Go to our website, georgegordon.org, then click on to the email if you want to send us an email. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, where am I here? Up in the gallery. Members of Parliament are fighting over this Rene Cassie legislation. Well, under incredible public pressure, Premier Hepburn and Health Minister Kirby thought it politically wise to ask Renee to reopen her clinic. She was reassured that she would not be charged under the new Kirby law, and she consented, and her patients were overjoyed. Well, they passed the Kirby law up there. Here in America, any legislation that is proposed by the big pharmaceutical companies or the AMA will be enacted. So going up against pharmaceuticals or going up against the AMA is a waste of your time, effort, and energy. Now, I'm an old-timey lobbyist out of Idaho, and I spent many years lobbying in the legislature. And I can tell you about how the ducks line up. And the ducks line up at the donation trough, and it's the insurance companies, it's the pharmaceutical companies, it's big business that give the campaign contributions. It's not Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccer Mom. You guys don't count. So if you're a Joe Sixpack or a Sally Soccer Mom, the best thing for you to do is sit down, shut up, fold your hands, go about your life, and do it under the table. Just like I'm telling you here, you want Bloodroot, it's available. You can get Bloodroot. But, you know, Bloodroot is like buying marijuana. You don't go down to the local Rexall store and say, gee, give me some Bloodroot. You don't walk in and say, gee, let me have some SEAC or some Indian Black Seth. You don't walk into the doctor's office and say, doc, I got cancer. Let me have some Easter Lily Ovum. Shoot me up a little bit and cure my cancer. That isn't the way that's done, not in the United States. You can do it in Germany. You can do it in Switzerland. You can do it in Mexico. By God, you ain't going to do it here. Now, Renee Cassie told the legislature that she would gladly give her formula to the world without any thought of gain. She was a little naive, wouldn't you say? So when she finished speaking, a motion was put forth calling for the bill not to be reported. A vote was taken by a show of hands. Renee's bill was defeated by just 3 votes on the grounds that to allow it would be the same as endorsing her treatment as a cure or effective remedy. Clearly, she had a tremendous amount of support. But in the end, all of that support wasn't enough. And remember, all of her support came from the people. She didn't have any big organizations, multinational corporations behind her at all. All public support from her patients and from people that knew about what she was doing. By the tens of thousands in Canada. You know, you Canadians ought to be pretty damn proud of a woman like that. And of the fact that that cancer cure called SEAC was developed in Canada. And you Native Americans ought to be damn proud that of the 10 natural cancer cures, I say 10 natural, the Royal Rife machine is not a natural cancer cure. So of the 9 natural cancer cures, 3 of them are developed by Native Americans. Or discovered. I wouldn't say developed. You know, God developed the bloodroot. He was the inventor of it. But then, you know, who was it that found it and publicized it? A few days later, the Kirby bill was easily passed into law. Renee notified her patients that she would be closing her clinic. And she said, I regret with all of my heart closing my cancer clinic here at Bracebridge. I have battled with the medical profession, but when it comes to fighting the law of the province, it's too much for me. The Huntsville forester described the scene at Renee's clinic when she told her patients of her decision to close. Tears began to flow down the cheeks of dozens of cancer victims who had been receiving benefit from their treatment with Miss Cassie and whose last hope apparently vanished with the announcements of the closing of the clinic. One patient is reported to have fainted, while others in complete dejection had to be assisted to their motor cars. Miss Cassie herself was so overcome that she had to leave the scene. All right, so let's learn a lesson from this. Don't take on the medical profession toe-to-toe and eyeball-to-eyeball. Right now, today, in the United States of America, there is an underground medical operation called alternative therapies. It's everywhere in the country. It's the black market of medical treatment. Not too long ago, I needed some Indian black salve, and I'd run out. And it had been many years since I'd bought any, and I didn't know where to get it. So I came on the air, and I said, is there anybody out there that knows where I can get some Indian black salve? And I was inundated with letters, emails, mainly emails. The guy said, oh, yeah, we got plenty of it. It's over here. It's over there. It's over there. And so I elected to buy some out of Jamaica. And if I said to you, if I put an ad out over the air and I said, I need Easter Lily Ova. It comes out of a place, I forgot where it was, and it came out of Oklahoma. Is it illegal? The Easter Lily Ovum isn't illegal oven by itself. It's illegal for the treatment of cancer. Bloodroot isn't illegal oven by itself. It's illegal for the treatment of cancer. It's just that I happen to know that you got to have bloodroot, the active ingredient there, to kill the cancer. And that's because bloodroot is an herb designed by God, described to us in Genesis 1, 29 and 30. It's a food, is what it is. And so when your body's out of balance and you got cancer, well, then you need a special food, and bloodroot's the food to kill those tumors. And then there's a number of other blood cleansers and cleansing agents that clean your body out, and you need those to go along with it. It's available. And boys and girls, it's out there everywhere. Now it's up to you to go find it. There's an underground... that there isn't a naturopath in the United States of America that doesn't know what I'm telling you here today and couldn't get any of these items right here. Not one. 8 states license naturopaths. I don't know what 8 I've looked them up. Oregon's one. You people out in Oregon, you got naturopaths out there running around. Go find one. Next time you have a friend or somebody that comes down with cancer and you're real concerned about it and you say, well, gee, is there anything that we can do with cancer? Maybe your wife or daughter or your son or brother-in-law or somebody. Remember my words, you know, I don't care who you go to. I'm not trying to sell SEAC. I don't get any commission off of SEAC. I don't get any commission off of Indian Black Salve. Nobody is paying me anything to sell you the Gerson program or barley green or wheatgrass. Hell, you can buy wheatgrass, kids, at the Wild Oats store, for crying out loud. It's not illegal. Wheatgrass is legal. You just can't use it for treating cancer. You know, but you can go into the Wild Oats store and just sidle up to the juice bar and say, hey, give me a carrot juice and put in a shot of wheatgrass. They'll do it. And you can use these therapies. I mean, hell, they're right out there. You can go to any health food store in America and buy a number of books on SEAC. Black Salve, the Gerson formula, Mendelssohn's books on Confessions of a Medical Heretic. I mean, my God, they're just out there by the tons and the scores. And I told you about Joel Wallach last week, you know, the week before. You know, the last thing you want to do is to go to a medical doctor. That guy's going to kill you. That allopathic medical doctor. Now, he doesn't know what causes cancer. That's your first clue. If you took your car into a garage and the mechanic said, I don't know what's wrong with your car and I don't know how to fix it, but for $25 an hour, I will work on it until you run out of money. That should be a clue to you that you should move on looking for somebody else. It may be true that you don't know what's wrong with your car and you don't know how to fix it, but there's no need taking it to somebody who tells you plainly, I don't know what's wrong with your car and I don't know how to fix it, but for $100,000, I can give you a treatment. That's what allopathic medicine is offering. But now there's a bunch of other guys out there that will tell you plainly, yeah, I know what causes cancer and I know how to cure it. and I've in my lifetime run across probably 10 or 15 that I've met and talked to and dealt with eyeball to eyeball. So I thought I'd share that with you. Now, in August of 1938, six physicians with expertise in the treatment of cancer were named as members of the newly formed Royal Cancer Commission. They were W.C. Wallace, R.E. Vallon, E.A. Collins, J. Dredman, M.B. Hamilton, T.H. Callahan, and G.S. Young. Dr. W.C. Wallace and Dr. T.H. Callahan were promptly sent to Bracebridge to interview Renee's patients. Renee was delighted at the prospect. She had nothing to hide, and as she had stated in the literature, her clinic was wide open for anyone to investigate. To a person, every one of the doctors interviewed gave glowing reports of their treatment with SEAC, but it didn't really matter. The purpose of the interviews was little more than a formality, an insignificant prelude to the main event. Early in March of 1939, public hearings got underway at the Royal York Hotel in Toronto and before the full Cancer Commission. Renee rented one of the hotel ballrooms to accommodate the 387 patients who accompanied her in support. For reasons never fully explained, the Royal Commission allowed just 49 to testify. That's 49 out of 387 patients. The testimony found in the court transcripts of those patients allowed to speak on Renee's behalf gives a vivid picture of what happened during the Inquisition. All of Renee's patients who were allowed to testify were absolutely convinced that SEAC had helped them recover from cancer. Some of them told of partial recoveries, others of miraculous recoveries after they had been given up as hopeless by the medical establishment. George Mahon testified, "She helped me. If it was not for her, I would be buried." Elizabeth Stewart testified, "After treatment by Nurse Cassie, I'm working every day. I milk 5 cows night and morning. I'm right off the farm and have boarders and all in the house, and I have to do it all myself. I owe my life to Miss Cassie, and I hope you'll do something for her." Annie Bonner, who had been diagnosed by biopsy at St. Michael's by Dr. E.R. Shannon, who said she had cancer of the uterus and bowel, testified, "My cancer had spread after radium treatments until my arm had swelled to double its size and turned black. I went down from 150 to 90 pounds and then entered St. Michael's to have my arm amputated, but I changed my mind on the eve of the operation and I went to Bracebridge instead. After 4 months on the SEAC treatment, my arm has returned to normal and I've gained 60 pounds. John Thornberry testified that his wife had been diagnosed by x-rays 2 years previously as having probable cancer of the stomach. She was so weak then that at 72 pounds she had to be carried into the Bracebridge clinic. Mrs. Thornberry testified herself to the Royal Commission that I now weigh 170 pounds and I can do all of my own work. She lived to be 91, by the way. She died in 1975. Now, the other patients who were allowed to testify in 1939 gave similar reports of dramatic recoveries. None of it mattered, however. The commissioners simply dismissed most of what they heard as improper original diagnoses. Some doctors even denied their own previous diagnoses in letters sent to Dr. R.T. Noble, registrar of the College of Physicians and Surgeons. Let me stop right there and let me make an observation. Why would a doctor who diagnosed you with cancer come back later and testify, "Oh, no, I didn't do any such thing"? I've seen that happen time after time. Why is it? Well, you see, if the AMA comes along, or if your state medical board comes along and says, "You know, if you don't recant, we're going to lift your license," they'll recant. Do you remember a story about Galileo? I think it was Galileo. It was either him or Leonardo da Vinci or one of those three guys. I forgot. Galileo, da Vinci, and there was one other. And I forgot which one of the three it was. Now, he got crosswise with the Pope. And he said something on the order of the sun doesn't revolve around the earth revolves around the sun. Now, that was opposed to Orthodox Catholic doctrine at the time, back in the 15th century. So they came to him and they said, "You know, you need to recant. You need to repent. You need to make a withdrawal of that statement and do it in public, or we're going to kill you." So he did. He went out in public and he said, "Oh, I made a terrible mistake, and I'm just sorry as hell that I did that. It's you remember when I said the sun revolved around the earth? I made a mistake. The sun really revolves around the earth. It's not the earth revolving around the sun." And then as he walked off, he said, "Well, okay, but it doesn't change anything. The earth still revolves around the sun." And boys and girls, it didn't change anything because it's still the earth revolving around the sun. But to save his life, he had to recant. And these medical doctors, to save their licenses, sometimes they have to make public statements in opposition to what they really believe or what they really practice. They're hypocrites. They're spineless jellyfish. But, you know, that's the way life is. The world is filled with hypocrites and spineless jellyfish. When their recantations were presented in court as evidence against SEAC's effectiveness, Renee's lawyers exploded, implying that there had to have been pressure applied for the doctors to abandon their earlier findings. He said, "If this matter of diagnosing is done so sloppily, there should probably be a commission to investigate sloppy diagnoses." Renee would later state, "In the 49 cases examined by the Ontario Cancer Commission, the majority of these had more than the diagnosis of one doctor. Some of them had 3 or 4 doctors who were told that they had cancer and were treated for malignancy before coming to me for SEAC treatment." During the hearing, several patients described the horror of radium burns and surgery. Almost all of them had been pronounced as terminal. Many sought Renee only after suffering a recurrence following radium or surgery. Dr. Guyatt, the anatomist from the University of Toronto, was finally allowed to testify. He said, "I'm satisfied that the patients that I saw at Bracebridge were definitely receiving benefit. And I would not say that it was a cure, because a cure of cancer means 25 years. Now, boys and girls, that was 1939, 25 years was a cure. Today, it's 5 years. If you don't die in 5 years, the medical profession calls that a cure. But certainly there has been a great benefit in those cases. And he went on to say, to describe that his considerable experience in diagnosing cancer and stating that the cases that he observed had been diagnosed properly. And during the close of the hearing, the chairman declared, chairman, what the nurse Cassie is asking us to do is to pass on the case histories that she's given us without the board having any knowledge of what the substance contains or the theory of its operation or administration. Exactly, responded Renee's lawyer, after a rather lengthy heated debate between Renee's lawyer and the commissioners about her refusal to turn over her formula. Commissioner Ballin said, you're seriously, I think, prejudicial to your cause in not revealing the formula. Boys and girls, let me stop and ask you this. Let's suppose you developed a formula that would cure cancer. Would you go divulge that before you had a patent on it? I'll assure you that Merck, Pfizer, or any of the big pharmaceutical companies would make sure that they had a patent on it before they ever disclosed what the formula was. You can hardly blame Nurse Cassie. Now, she has the formula, and she's got the documented evidence of its efficacy. And she says, I don't want the pharmaceutical industry to get this formula, because if they do, they're going to patent it. And if they patent it, then they're going to sell it. And I don't want to do that. I want to give it to humanity. I mean, she's altruistic, isn't she? I mean, hell, she could have patented herself and then given it to humanity. I don't know where in the hell her head was. But nevertheless, no matter what her ignorance of the law and methodologies and et cetera are, the facts, I think, speak for themselves. And I'm just reporting to you dozens of letters. Here in this letters in this report, there must be 100 of these testimonial letters in here. It goes way beyond, you know, just an accident or a placebo or anecdotal evidence. And we're not talking about 100, we're talking about tens of thousands of people over the years that have been using this product called Essiac. I say it's a product. It comes out of Germany now. There is a product called Essiac that you can get. I'm about out of time again. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. And to give you a reminder that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law Hour and The Law School, please go to the website, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an education service brought to you in the public interest. While we're out of time, we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and good night, friends.